Well, central bank governors have been trying to sound dovish, but it doesn't seem to be working. The markets are increasingly hopeful that an end to the gloomy days of COVID will soon be behind us, and bonds are being sold off like they're going out of fashion, pushing yields to post-pandemic highs, none more so than in Australia. Also, a steepening yield curve in the United States. Does that suggest that rate rises could happen next year, irrespective of what Jerome Powell is trying to signal? And the Aussie dollar passed the US 80 cent mark for a while last night. It's Friday, the 26th of February, 2021. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, a big rise in bond yields this morning. 10-year treasuries are now up over 1.5%. That's an 11 basis point rise, another pandemic high. It's not quite as sharp a rise in longer-term bonds, but much steeper in 5 years. And Canadian 10-year yields are up 14 basis points. Australia is also seeing this sell-off. 10-year bond yields are up 14 basis points to 1.9%, the highest in almost 2 years. Yields also rising in Europe, but not quite as much, it's fair to say. 7 basis points for 10 years in Germany and France, 11 in Italy, 5 in the UK. And US equities are falling, particularly in for tech stocks, a 2.7% fall in the NASDAQ, 1.9% for the S&P 500, 1.1% down for the Dow. Falls across Europe as well. The DAX is down 0.7%, a lesser fall for the FTSE. It's actually down about 0.1%. And the US dollar is back on its way down as well. The DXY has lost 0.4%, getting down to April 2018 levels. But that's not helped the Aussie dollar or the pound. They're both down almost 0.5% as well. The gains have been in the euro, more than 0.5% up, with a fall in commodities, although oil, WTI, is up a little bit, even though Brent is down. And copper, well, it had to stop sometime. It's down 0.3%. So another morning where we wake up to a big sell-off of bonds. Gavin Friend has been following it all from NAB in London. So why is Australia so front and centre in all of this, more than Europe, for example? I guess that, I mean, there's less positive sentiment for Europe, so maybe that's something to do with it. But we also had the RBA, of course, announcing that big buyback of government bonds yesterday. I don't know if that's something to do with it, but we certainly have taken the centre court on this, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, the reflation trade takes another step forward. The focus remains on, as you say, the sell-off in the bond markets right around the world, really. And it has turned into a bit of a rout on Thursday, and that's putting or increasing some downward pressure on stocks, and particularly those that have performed very well, such as tech stocks. And we'll come on to that in a second. In terms of why Australia, I mean, it's not just Australia. I would say as Thursday has worn on, it is increasingly the US that's front and centre. And that's, you know, the yield moves we've seen some big breaks in important levels. For instance, US 10-year yields have gone through 150 at one stage and accelerated up to 160. Even the belly of the curve, the 5-year yields rose from, well, just below 0.6 this morning, so 0.6 Thursday morning, to 0.85 at one stage. Everything, you know, a big melt up in yields, lots of duration hedging and covering, short covering. The market's been clearly spooked by this. And so I think the technical breaks of 150 in the 10s, US 10s, was, you know, that added to the move, the ferocity of the move, some short covering, that kind of stuff.
So what's driving it? Because, I mean, central banks have tried to be as dovish as possible. This is obviously an expectation that things are going to get better quicker. I mean, these rates are rising because of good news, isn't it? It's not because of inflation concerns. It's because we're looking and thinking we're going to get out of this thing fairly quickly.
Well, indeed. I mean, that's the primary driver, you know, we've got this increasing broad confidence that in the US, the UK, and with something of a lag, Europe, you know, these have been economies in lockdown for many weeks and months. And, you know, the market is wholesale understanding and realizing there's going to be something of a boom in Q2 and Q3, providing, you know, we don't get mutations that stop the progressive lockdown that we're going to see. And we're going to get real, some really decent growth numbers. Now, in theory, that shouldn't be bad news for stocks, for equities. Earnings should benefit. Of course, you know, it's not as straightforward as that. Clearly, there are some things like price pressures going on, supply chain disruptions, base effects, and all those kinds of things are going to impact margins and what have you. And of course, that's going to have an impact on earnings. But it's the pace of the move in yields that's really grabbing attention. We can argue that you know, the combination of the very easy fiscal and monetary policy settings in addition to anticipated lockdown endings is the driver, with fuel being added by the central banks, you know, such as the Fed, that is pledging to run the economy hot and not worry about inflation. Obviously, some people in the market are worried that inflation this time is different and we're going to see inflation. Fed Chair Powell yesterday, you know, repeating those remarks that inflation is not a concern. There is so much, as he sees it, as the Fed sees it, slack in the labour market. It's not something that they need to worry about at the moment. And that's just pulling everybody in. And as the move gains momentum, you know, you're finding some hedging, some short covering as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that we've seen that big rise in 5 years, in 5 year yields, I mean, surely that suggests there is an expectation that rates are going to move faster than the Fed has been alluding to.
It clearly it is for some people, and you've seen the market that wasn't looking for any rate rises in the US until 2024 now start pulling that closer into 2023. You know. Only time will tell. I mean, you could take a view on this and say that, of course, we're going to get these. You know, we've seen some big rises in savings rates around the world, particularly in the US, in the UK. There's a lot of pent up demand there. Forced savings because people couldn't spend their money, and a lot of this money will get put to work, I suspect. There's a debate about that. But that's, you know, that's helping to drive the move. And you could say that, well, after we get the sugar rush from this, are we not going to just, you know, see growth rates kind of, you know, so stabilize a bit, and we'll go back to where we were? I mean, that would be one view, but markets are very forward looking, very excited by this at the moment. And
but you would expect, you know, equities to bounce back, wouldn't you? I mean, maybe less so for tech stocks, but if we are going to be spending again, there's no reason why they wouldn't be that they'd be back on the rise.
Well, that's right. But of course, as yields go up, you know, you tighten financial conditions. At the moment, as we're seeing today in the tech stocks, those stocks that have risen the most are being hit the hardest. And so, you know, if this turns into a bigger equity market route, then of course you're going to get a tightening conditions both from one side of higher yields and from lower stock markets. And so you would imagine that markets will find some kind of equilibrium here at some point. But to your point, yes, you know, you'd imagine that overall, very so early in what is going to be a global growth boom for the next couple of quarters, notwithstanding what goes on with COVID, you would think that would be broadly equity market sensitive overall. We just have a bond market route going on at the moment, which is taking a lot of people by surprise. To your question about Australia, why is Australia front and centre in this? Of course, Australia's economy, like New Zealand, is doing well. The labour market, I think, is key. The labour market in Australia, you've got a declining unemployment rate. You compare that to somewhere like the UK, where we're still adding to the furlough scheme, it's likely that the unemployment rate will deteriorate further. And so markets are so selectively looking at central banks and saying, well, you know, how convinced or how convicted are you going to be to this? And you could take the view that someone like Australia, the RBA, won't have the conviction to double down on this, that maybe the Bank of England or even the Fed, that think, you know, there are no price pressures anytime soon. You know, there's no way that we're going to back away from this policy. And so I think you're seeing that Australia, you're seeing that in New Zealand, and selectively, this is where, you know, people are querying whether those central banks, where the labour markets are improving the fastest and the most, will actually, you know.
Well, the RBNZ wasn't, you know, there's one central bank that wasn't totally dismissing the idea that they might have a rate rise next year. I mean, they didn't say they will, but they didn't say they wouldn't either. So there's not much bad news, is there? Is that what's giving this enthusiasm? Because it's largely either no news or good news. So, for example, durable goods orders in the US for January, 3% up, which is much more than expected. Those weekly jobless claims overnight, 730,000 for the week of February the 20th, down from 841,000 the week before. So that's also a much better outcome than expected. And of course, vaccines are being rolled out around the world as well. So it is, you know, it is Sonny Upland's stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, good news is good news. I mean, I would just caution on the durable goods in terms of the headline was good. But when you looked at the core numbers, the ex-aircraft capital goods numbers, they were only up 0.5%, which was below the consensus. But you're right, you know, things like jobless claims, you know, we've dipped below 800,000. And the market seems to think that that's now, you know, setting the scene for a gradual trend lower in that. To your point, I mean, it is really the vaccine, isn't it? The speed of the vaccine. European leaders talking today about how, and the new commission, how they can speed up the vaccine rollout in the Eurozone. We know the UK is, you know, is leading the charge there at the moment. The US is vaccinating at a fair clip. And I think, you know, markets are looking at, say, the US and the UK to be the front line of this at the moment. There's no reason why, really, to think that Europe will be that far behind. You know, they think they'll be able to vaccine something like 75% of their adult population by the summer. And so, you know, that should
be enough,
along with the recovery fund, you know, set the economy fair. So I don't think there's going to be, it's the combination of all these things that that are lighting a fire under markets.
Now,
you know,
we've got the US dollar weakening again. The Aussie dollar hasn't been strengthened by that. In fact, most of the strength has been in Europe, I guess. Is that just because it's responding? I mean, the euro is just responding because of that dollar weakness. There's nothing particularly strong about what's happening in Europe to drive that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the case for most of Thursday that the dollar was on its downers, as you say. Heading down towards those kind of January lows on the DXY, as US yields have propelled more sharply higher throughout Thursday, that's come back and given the dollar a bit of a bid tone. But you're right, and that's why the Aussie's come off the highs. But look at the Aussie earlier on Thursday.
Yeah, you know,
we peaked above 80 cents. And the euro above 1.22. The pound's taking a bit of a backseat. It's done a lot of the heavy lifting recently. All of these currencies, we think, have got further gains to go against the dollar, but it's not going to be a straight line. And you know, 80 cents is a big level. We think we have a forecast that we're going to be at 83 cents later this year. All in good time.
Yeah, or not much time, perhaps. Everything seems to be moving that a little bit faster, doesn't it? Look, Governor Orr from the RBNZ is talking today. Of course, the governor's officially changed the remit there. They have to keep an eye on house prices as part of their remit, so it's going to be interesting to see what he's got to say. Also, if he's going to sound as dovish as he tried to sound earlier in the week in the face of it all. And US personal income and spending data is out tonight as well. So that's going to give us a good idea of how much pent-up demand there is in the US economy for when everyone goes out spending later in the year.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we saw from the retail sales numbers in January in the US how the Trump $900 billion tax cuts fed through and were spent pretty quickly. And so this will give us another indication. Of course, we know we're going to get another dollop of that when Biden can get through his pandemic relief plan, somewhere between $1 trillion and $1.9 trillion. It really is going to fire this along.
Absolutely. You know. And we'll no doubt find out more about that. That's going to keep trucking along over the next couple of days, and over the weekend perhaps. And we get the official Chinese PMIs over the weekend as well. We know that they're going to be well over 50 for manufacturing and services. In fact, it'd be a big surprise if they weren't. So we'll keep an eye on all of that, but that'll do for now. Good to talk, Gavin.
Thanks, Bill.
It's been a feisty day on the markets, hasn't it? Maybe it'll all calm down a bit at the beginning of next week. We'll see. That's it for today, though. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Back again on Monday morning. Have a great weekend.